Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Listening to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Today we'll be talking Richmond, Virginia. But up first, food headlines. Okay, folks, can you believe I have not talked about the Cronut on Hot Grease? I'm a fan of donuts. I'm actually a fanatic of donuts. But I thought I'd take a few seconds to talk about the Cronut. First off, full disclosure, I have not tried the Cronut. But I will say I've gotten a million gazillion emails, texts, and phone calls from friends far and near saying they either read about the Cronut, it was on the news. It's like international news. So if you're listening, you're like, what is a Cronut? The Cronut was made by Dominique Ansel. It's a it's a bakery that's in Soho. And they make 200 croissants that are round and then deep fried, and then in the middle there's like a curd or cream, and on the top there's another flavor. You have to Google it, see the photos, but everybody is talking about it. And honestly, I don't get hyped up about stuff in the very beginning. When people are talking about stuff, I usually either discover it and then tell everybody, or by the time people are in mania mode, I'm over it. And I'm a little over the Cronut. Sorry. But if someone wants to bring me some, because I refuse to stand in the line, I hear that people line up at 6 a.m. and they're sold out by 8 a.m. So, yeah, Cronut is still making news. And look, what's so funny about the Cronut is that the bakery, Dominique Ansel, just like created it in the beginning of May. So it's like 2 months old. So my new mantra is I want to be a donut. I want to become famous in two months. So that's one food headline. Another food headline. It's very interesting. Pepsi supposedly is in talks to buy SodaStream. SodaStream is an Israeli-based company. All these homes now have a SodaStream. Even some restaurants use it. It's basically an in-home carbonation system. I don't have one because I don't have the counter space. I have another, a soda siphon. But I'll say this. I mean, I guess it's fine if Pepsi decides to buy SodaStream. Maybe they'll make it a little bit more affordable. But I'll tell you this, their syrups suck. I mean, if you're going to buy SodaStream, find the best local syrup company in your neck of the woods, or make your own syrups. I love P&H Soda. Shout out to P&H Soda, one of my favorite syrup companies. And also, I love Morris Kitchen Fresh Ginger Syrup, my favorites. And then I play around with a lot of them at home. So if Pepsi is going to buy SodaStream, great. Maybe they'll lower the price. And people all around the world, all around the country who need, stuff, soda without all the fake stuff, can get it on the low-low. Can make soda at home on the low-low. So there it is, food headlines this week. For the next few weeks, you're going to get two shows already taped. I'm so excited. The Joy of Cooking, the new generation of The Joy of Cooking, is going to be on Hot Grease. And then we're going to have Pie Corps, a Brooklyn-based pie company. And during what I'm so excited about for the last 2 years, for the month of July here on Hot Grease, I have dedicated it to ice cream. So every week I'm going to be talking about ice cream, not just me talking, but I'm going to have guests from chefs to cookbook writers to everyday folks talking about ice cream all during July. So keep listening. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk RVA, a.k.a. Richmond, Virginia. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
Oh, baby. This one's called All Night Long by the California Honey Drops on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Stay tuned for more Hot Grease, everybody.
It's all right. Babe, it's all right. Well, it's all right, baby. Stay all night, baby, all night long. All right. So roll slow. Oh, baby, roll slow.
Welcome back to Hot Grease. I am super excited to talk Richmond, Virginia. In May, I went down to Richmond and had a beautiful time and was able to reconnect with a new old friend, Nicole Lang. Nicole Lang, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so stoked.
I have to tell folks, Nicole, you're an ex-New Yorker, filmmaker, food maven. So again, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But I have to point out, girl, you can't talk Richmond and not call it RVA.
I think I said RVA.
You said Richmond.
I thought I said RVA at the break. So yeah, people have to. I realized this very quickly that RVA is the moniker for Richmond. Is that just what hip people say, or is everybody saying RVA?
I feel like it's been coming into its own in the last few years. There, it's kind of enjoying its little moment. But yeah, I've actually had to always point out, you know, when I say RVA, I just say everyone just says it, you know. So you have to be like, oh, Richmond, Virginia. Yeah, that's what that means.
So Nicole, how did you get from Brooklyn to Richmond?
I could say I fell in love, but the fact of the matter is, I fell in love with a guy from Virginia who lived in Richmond for a number of years, and then I met him in New York, and I kind of had to drag him back to Richmond, but I was successful.
And I have to ask you this question. You have a beautiful film. Folks who haven't checked it out, they need to follow you on Twitter so they can find out the happenings. The film is titled Pimento Cheese Please. Did you make that in the whole concept? Did it happen in Brooklyn, or did it happen in Richmond?
It started in Brooklyn, and it actually has a timeline. In 2007, I believe I saw, you know, Lisa Fain?
Yes.
Yeah, Homesick Texan. In 2007, yeah. She blogged about it. And I remember emailing my husband the link and being like, what the hell is this? How come I don't know about it? It's mayo, it's cheese, it's spicy. You're from the South. Like, hook it up. And he was like, no, you know, it's like in jars and it's pretty gross stuff. You're not interested. So I, you know, started making it at home, and my Brooklyn friends were like, what the heck is this? My Southern friends were, you know, elated. And then I didn't have it actually made by a real Southerner until 2009. Actually, it was just this past weekend at the Big Apple Barbecue, 2009. Jim and Nick's from Alabama. They have chains all over the country right now. But I'm not sure how. I think they were out of Alabama then, or they had a handful of stores. Anyway, they made it, and New York City kind of fell in love. And that was 2009. In 2010, I applied for a grant to make a documentary on it because I was like, we need to spread the word about this cheese. If I don't know about it, if I didn't know about it, you know, who else didn't know about it?
Right.
So then, you know, the release of Pimento Cheese, Please, kind of coincided with the great Southern food takeover of New York City. It kind of, we finished the film in 2011, and that's when it started to show. And by then, you know, Pimento Cheese had taken over, well, maybe Brooklyn, if not Manhattan, but it was on its way.
What I love about you, Nicole, is that you went to Richmond, or admire about you. You went to Richmond and you seem like totally integrated into the food culture in Richmond. You work at very popular wine bar, Seiko Wine Bar. You started a bakery there. I mean, you went there full speed ahead, creating a life around food and food culture. Was that the plan?
You know, it was the plan to do Dollop, which was my very brief stint in commercial baking and selling at the farmers market. But the whole thing about Richmond and the food scene there is that it's exploded in the past 3 years. I was really lucky to have just, you know, moved down there as it was happening. And it was like a real tangible thing that you could feel. It was like growing and changing, you know, right before our eyes. And it makes sense because, you know, Virginia is an agrarian state. You know, we've got the Hanover tomatoes. We're famous for the peanuts. We've got awesome pork, oysters. I mean, so much is there. And finally, Richmond, being the capital, you know, it's kind of caught up. It's caught up with it. It knows how to showcase it. And, you know, I think it's like people all often, and this is really weird to me, and you can actually maybe speak to this, people mention Richmond and Brooklyn a lot. I think there's like a little mind meld there.
Totally. I totally
agree.
Yeah,
right? And you know, it's funny because all the first Richmonders I met them all in Brooklyn.
Yeah, there are a lot of Brooklyn, New York connections. I know the guys from the Meat Hook, some of them, they started at Belmont Butchery,
yeah,
which is in Richmond. I know Carrie, the manager at Whisk, which is a very popular kitchen supply store here in Brooklyn.
Oh, on Bedford, right?
Correct. She's from Richmond. She's tweeted me
a few. Oh, she is? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there are a few definitely Richmond connections. And speaking of showcase, you did a great job over, you know, the last few months showcasing, you know, Jefferson Hotel, Heritage Restaurant, Sub Rosa, which has such a, you know, very triumphant story, and Peter Chang on Southern Foodware Alliance's blog this summer, where you basically profile, you know, the happenings. Really, not even the happenings, the in-depth story of the people who make Richmond food scene go around.
Yeah, that was truly awesome. I was so stoked and excited and honored, honestly, to be able to blog for the SFA over the last few months and really expose not just SFA members, but anyone interested in Southern food, but more specifically just food, you know, kind of introducing them to the region and to what's going on down there. I'm actually in Boston today. but, you know, I'm so proud of what's happening there, and the folks they're hustling, you know. They are on the hustle, on the make to create a food destination there. And I think it's happening. And, you know, it's not as gigantic as Brooklyn's food scene, and I don't think it ever could be, but the talent is there and the dedication is there, and places that, you know, that I featured on the SFA blog posts, and also that I feature on my own blog, you know, they speak to that. It's kind of like a snowball effect right now.
Just briefly tell people about Peter Chang, because I'm a lover of ethnic food, particularly Szechuan. Oh, man, I had the most mind-blowing dinner at Peter Chang's restaurant.
Did you have the fish? I love the fish there.
I mean, we had so many dishes.
You probably had like 36 dishes.
Right.
He does the whole send-out there. I refer to him as the Szechuan Don, because that's what he is, you know? I mean, and he's got like, he opened up in a Walmart strip mall, and it's people flock. And the food there, I mean, it's a gift. It's a gift to Richmond. It's authentic, but it's still really innovative. The flavors, the spices, I mean, it's just, I don't know, he's blowing minds down there. And also, he's opened up two other places, in, I believe in Fredericksburg and also Williamsburg. So
wow.
He's really bringing it in Virginia right now, period.
Yeah, so if you're listening to High Grease right now, we're going to take a short break. But if you want to read about Richmond, more so what Nicole Lang wrote for Southern Foodway Alliance's blog, Google it and go there. They're like five or more stories, all up profiling some amazing.
I think I did that at 12.
Oh, wow. Excuse moi. 12.
No, I mean, at the end, I'm just like, oh, I can't keeping up this blog schedule. It's like, it was really unbelievable, but I was glad to do it.
And let me just shout this one out. One about SFA. You did a great one on Lena Sorensen.
Dr. Lenny Sorensen.
Yes.
Yeah. That woman, oh my gosh, talk about badass. She went from folk singer to activist to African American culinary historian at Monticello to rural life skills guru. I mean, the weekend I wanted to go interview her, I called her up, and she's like, I'm actually butchering a lamb today,
wow.
and I think I might be distracted. So can you come next week?
Wow.
And the woman is 70 years old.
Wow, is she? Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and if folks, I don't know if there's still tickets available, but I know SFA, it's what, 2-3 weekends away, or it's doing
mm-hmm.
like a summer symposium.
The 20th is the first night, I think.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk more RVA with Nicole Lang. Keep listening. We'll be right back.
Oh, baby, can't you hear me crying?
You're listening to Help Me Now by the California Honey Drops on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Ooh, Lord. Oh, baby. Oh, baby, can't you hear me crying? Oh, can you hear me now?
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, five generations, 145 years. A full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
Just a quick reminder that Hot Grease airs live every Monday at 3:30 Eastern Time. You can find me on iTunes and Stitcher. And also, thank you to my engineer today, Joe G. We are located here at the lovely Roberta's restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you're just tuning in, we're talking Nicole Lang, filmmaker, blogger. She blogs at Food Punk via WordPress, and writer, baker. So many great things behind you, Nicole. So we're going to play this little, it's not a game, but I want people to really see that Richmond is the place. I really fell in love. I felt at home when I went to Richmond.
Need to come back.
I know. And here's the thing. I'm like, okay, is this really the South? Is this, some people say it's the South. Some people say it's not. I don't know. But I felt at home. It definitely had a Southern vibe.
Oh, great.
So we're going to play this little thing. I'm going to ask you. Give you a phrase and you tell me your favorite place to go or brand that's all Richmond, Virginia related. Grab a beer.
Oh, well, gosh, grab a beer. You could, that is really easy to do in Richmond. Richmond is beer city. RVA is beer city. There are so many craft breweries in Virginia, and we do an excellent job representing Mekong. Did you guys get to go to Mekong?
Went to Mekong, yes.
Yeah, you did. 30 taps, right? I think it was something like 30 taps that An Mekong has there, as he is known. Hardywood Brewery, also, they have daily events. But honestly, girl, most of the restaurants in the city have excellent tap options.
There you have it. Purchase a juicy grass-fed steak for the grill.
That would be Belmont Butchery, our friend Tanya.
You got to tell, we got to tell folks, I think Tanya is like badass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with that little cleaver earring, man. I love that cleaver earring that she sports.
And that's in, I forget the name of the neighborhood.
It's Carytown. It's actually a stone's throw away from us over at Secco.
Cool. Let's see. Grab bread for a pimento cheese sandwich. Where would you go?
Oh, well, we've got awesome bread. We've got Billy Bread. We've got Sub Rosa when they're going to have their grand reopening, hopefully this July. But, you know, honestly, Sally Bell's Kitchen makes these rolls. And, I mean, they've been making these rolls since the 20s. And I don't know, there's something about those rolls. And I think I would choose Sally Bell's. I'd go in there, get a dozen rolls and maybe some country ham and go to town on some pimento cheese.
Ah. A place to take your favorite gluten-free friend.
Oh, Heritage does an excellent job on gluten-free. And the Roosevelt, Chef Lee Gregory, actually, we've got a lot of gluten-free folks in Richmond, and they are very vociferous on Twitter. And so due to that, Chef Lee Gregory at Roosevelt decided to do gluten-free fried chicken. And that's the hot ticket Tuesday nights, I believe, at the Roosevelt. So yeah. I would definitely take them there.
Yeah, I think when I was there, they were doing gluten-free fried soft-shell crabs. They look better than the regular ones. I was like, why didn't I get those? and lastly, a place to listen or buy music.
Oh, well, you know what I got to say here.
What are you going to say?
My husband, Marty Key, and his partner, Drew, they opened Steady Sounds the year that we moved down. And, you know, did you ever shop at other music in Brooklyn? I mean, in Manhattan?
No, it's funny. I buy a lot of my records and stuff from Brooklyn Flea. A few other places. No, I didn't shop at that place. I haven't shopped there.
I think it's definitely still open, but it's just like my favorite record store in the universe. And Steady Sounds here in Richmond is just, it reminds me most of that. It's just something for everyone, and it's on Broad Street in the Arts District, and there's galleries there and places to eat. Comfort is nearby, and it's just, it's awesome. It's, you go there and then you find out where everyone's playing, you know, and it's got its little hand on the pulse of the music community for sure.
Yeah, and we didn't mention Comfort. Michelle and Jason are the best. I mean, Steady Sounds is a few blocks from Comfort. So many Brooklyn connections there. I saw that the folks from Seersucker here in Brooklyn were down in Richmond.
Yeah. Seersucker opened the week I left.
Wow. Yeah, and
but I never got to eat there, but I have had Rob's food at Big Apple, and I had it the other night. Pastor hosted this awesome event that they do every year featuring chefs from all over the country called Off Broad Appetit, and it was amazing, and we were so glad to have those guys. Those guys are awesome.
Yeah, see, Brooklyn, Richmond. Brooklyn, we have a thing.
RVA.
We have a thing. Nicole, thanks so much for coming on Hot Grease. If folks want to find you, you're simply Nicole without an H. Lang.
Without an H.
Nicole.
Or an E on the Lang.
Right, on Twitter. And your blog is, give me the full URL for your blog.
It's foodpunk.wordpress.com, I think.
That's
I hope.
It. It is. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank
hope to
you.
See you
I
soon.
Hope to see you again soon.
All righty. Talk to you soon. Listeners, we'll be back to talk Juneteenth. Juneteenth in Richmond. Keep listening.
Hey, Squeezy. Squeezy little breezy. Squeezy.
This one's called Squeezy Breezy by the California Honey Drops. Stay tuned for more Hot Grease on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Squeeze on you. Hey, Squeezy. I'd give it up for just a one sip from your sweet cup. If I had a big Cadillac car, I'd trade it in for a Pinto at the old junkyard. Listen out here, babe, I ain't fooling around, cause I got another woman, but I'll put her down. Hey, Squeezy.
Squeezy little breezy.
Squeezy breezy.
Squeezy little breezy.
Ain't nothing in this world I wouldn't do for just one little squeeze on you.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on the Heritage Radio Network. On the phone to talk Juneteenth. Juneteenth, particular in RVA, is one of Richmond's cultural ambassadors and founding president and artistic director of Elegba Folklore Society. Miss Janine Bell, welcome to Hot Grease.
Hey, how are you?
I am great. So for folks who are listening and they're like, Juneteenth, what is Juneteenth? I keep hearing that. Give us the skinny.
Well, I'm happy to, because, you know, our history is often in between the pages of the book. In between the pages of the history book, certainly in any of the schools, and sometimes even in our families. And so Juneteenth happened when the Emancipation Proclamation was enacted in January of 1863, and as a military intervention, it freed Africans who were enslaved in the South and enabled them to travel north to seek liberation, except, Nicole, in Texas, where cotton was king, and the enslavers there kept their mouths shut about it, so that Africans would continue to work, and their unpaid labor would continue to turn a profit there in Texas on that cotton. And so on or about June 19th, 1865, a full 2.5 years later, General Gordon Granger of the Union Army sailed into Galveston Harbor in Texas to spread the word that the time had come for our ancestors to walk away from the plantation, return to their life of self-actualization, and begin anew. So it was on or about June 19th. Right away, the holiday was Juneteenth. It's a state holiday in Texas. It is recognized in many states because of its meaning and their efforts to make it a national holiday and celebration. Isn't that awesome?
Totally awesome. And, you know, all over the country this weekend, a lot of organizations, and particularly your organization, are hosting Juneteenth celebrations. I think they're, you know, beautiful celebrations. Your Juneteenth 2013 Freedom Celebration is actually theme, Take Me to the Water. And I love that so much, because when I was in Richmond, I actually saw the James River. What made you do the Take Me to the Water as a theme?
Well, you know, Nicole, water is a resource for clarity. It is an element of clarity. Is it an element of healing? It's an element of rejuvenation. It's an element that is the antithesis of resistance. We gather by the water. Our ancestors said the water brought us here and the water can carry us home. And so water then is has its spiritual value, it has its natural value, and it has folkloric value. And so in terms of the flow of history, its legacy, the legacy of history, we felt that that was an appropriate term, an appropriate theme for our event this year. And not only that, as you say, while the first day is inside, and we'll talk about that later, the second day of the event is at the Powhatan River, which became known as the James with the coming of Christopher Newport in 1607. It is the place where we set up for the festival. It's the place where the boats delivered our ancestors into Richmond from the continent of Africa for 100 years. So we see it as a sacred space, and water speaks to that sacred nature.
So I have to ask you, since we're talking, really, you're giving us a lot of facts about the history of Richmond. I have to thank you. When I was in Richmond, I had a chance to really explore Jackson Ward. Went to Mama J's, walked around Jackson Ward, went to one of the, well, I would say probably the one of the oldest businesses in Jackson Ward, mm-hmm. Waller's Jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
And I also checked out the museum, the African American Museum. And it's called the African American Museum of Virginia. So thank you for that. What are your thoughts, or what are your what's your take in terms of food, how food plays a role in Juneteenth celebrations across the country?
Well, you know, foodways traditions really undergird our story as Africans in America, as American Africans, as Black people. Food traditions and the whole consumption of food in African societies is communal, is earthy, is spirit, is tradition. And we brought that sensibility with us when we came during that forced migration. And because in southern cities, primarily, of course, the North didn't escape what I'm about to say, it was Black people who were preparing the food for the family. And so those traditions that we brought with us that helped to make the African diaspora what it is, helped to tell our story. And so when we're talking about culture and Juneteenth Black people in America, you have to have food in it. You have to. It's, again, it's family. It's the ancestors upon whose shoulders we stand. It's our elders who have their special recipes. It's the foods that you looked forward to when you went to Mama J's, the candied yams and the catfish and so forth. All of these things, each item of food that we can find on a table will serve as a symbolic and tasty slice of history.
So for folks who are listening, they're like, oh my gosh, you're talking about food. They're talking about it, Richmond. I'm so excited. I want to go down to Richmond this weekend and partake in the Freedom Celebration. What are the general details? Is it a free event? Do people need to pay? Or?
Well, we hope that people will come down because on Friday night we're in the Pine Cap Art Center. Our scholar and author and cultural historian, Tony Browder, is going to be here. I know people have seen the movie Django Unchained. Some people loved it, some people hated it. Whatever the case, he's going to present Django Decoded. So he's going to be talking about the symbolism that we may have missed in the theater. Our African dancers and drummers are going to perform. Nicole, the Last Poets, are going to be here.
Love them.
I know, and when we're talking about, you know, our experiences culturally, socially, politically, you know, they're on it. They're on it. And so for that night, the symposium and concert will have complimentary hors d'oeuvres and a cash bar and exhibitors so people can do a little shopping. The tickets are only $15 for one and $25 for two. People can go to our website at www.efsinc.org. to buy the tickets there. They'll also be available at the door. And then that's Friday evening from 6 to 10. And the website also has directions to all of the venues. And then on Saturday is the reflective celebration at the Manchester Dock and along the trail of enslaved Africans. Because on that day, as we have spirituals on the stage, we have a panel that will be engaging the audience in a conversation about water as a resource for internal healing. Our African dancers and drummers, the Elegba Folklore Society, will perform again on Saturday. Each of the speakers and presenters will interweave the thematic of water in what they do. But we'll have children's crafts and food and exhibitors that day as well. But when the sun sets and dusk is upon us, Nicole will light the torches and guide people in the torch-lit night walk along the trail of enslaved Africans. The boats were unloaded only at night, not to upset Southern gentility, and we will share the narratives of our ancestors, the historical record, and characterizations of the day in an experience which many have called life-changing for them.
Yeah, I actually met Marie Egan from Real Richmond Food Tours, and she told me that she did the annual torch-lit night walk along the trail of enslaved Africans, and she said it was such a moving and beautiful experience, and she was, like, big-upping, telling people that they really should come back to Richmond and check that out. So she was really, really moved by it. This sounds like a very beautiful... Sadly, I cannot come, but this is an amazing. I know I have to get back to Richmond. But I just thank you so much. I know this will be a huge success, and this just really showcases that Richmond is so many things. It's food, it's culture, it's everyone's history. And I'm just so proud that I could, you know, come to the city and meet you and, you know, half dozen or dozen more of other people who really make RVA go around.
Well, I'm just happy to have met you two and to be able to talk to you and your listeners on the radio right now, because it's important that, you know, the more we get together, the happier we'll be. And some people don't really think about Richmond as a destination, but as you have attested, it is in so many ways.
It is. Ms. Bell, thanks so much for coming on Hot Grease.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Listeners, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week live, or you can catch me via iTunes or Stitcher. Until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.